Doug, if I could follow up on that, though, you know, you mentioned the Saints and how Sean Payton was able to have success with Bridgewater and Payton, but he had Drew Brees. So conversely,
no, he ain't.
If I could follow up on that, though, you know, you mentioned the Saints and how Sean Payton was able to have sex.
No, he ain't. With Bridgewater and Payton, but he had Drew Brees. That gotta be like the worst shit right there, man. That gotta be like the worst feeling in the world. You know what I'm saying? Call to the booth. Week 15. I keep to leave Hanson Sanford. Man, how you slip up like that?
I don't know, man. Hey, Akeem, now you being in the media, you now understand every now and again a word slips up, a pronunciation slips up. But that one was viral.
When you slip up, you hope it ain't that slip up right there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Coach start moving and everything, right?
Coach made it hot. Coach made it hot by moving like that. Yeah,
he did it like that on purpose. Hold up, what you mean?
Yeah. Well, speaking of slipping up, last time, maybe a month and a half ago, you had a great performance with no slip ups in the booth, and now you're going back to the booth again. Please let them know the deal,
man. Hey. Who calling the Kyler Murray Jalen Hurts game? Leave this. Leave in the booth. We back in the booth, man. Round two in the booth. Fox. You know what I'm saying? I got me a new suit this time. You know what I'm saying? $3,000 suit. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta come correct or don't come at all.
I'ma wear the Paddock this week. You know what I'm saying? I'm feeling myself this week. I'm on one. I love it. These two teams who not really Philly. But the Cardinals, I already been watching them. You know, that NFC West, I already been watching them. So, I already know them good. You know what I'm saying? And the defensive coordinator used to be my head coach, Vance Joseph. So, I know the defense good. I feel like I'm super prepared for this game before I even started studying. You know what I'm saying? So, I think it's going to be a good one, man. Two great young quarterbacks. I'm excited.
What I think people are going to start to really love about this show is we're not just getting your takes as an analyst and your advice on players that should be put in certain positions for your DFS or your fantasy football team, but they're also learning about you, the person, and your career aspirations. So coming off this journey of having a Pro Bowl and potentially Hall of Fame career, now you're adjusting to being in the media, and now you're adjusting to also doing this Fox analyst booth tour that you're going on here in your second game. What are you trying to improve on as an analyst in the booth from the first game?
I got to get my start right, man. I got to get topics. I've been listening to Romo, Troy Aikman, just hearing them at the beginning of the games. Like, how they get started? What they talking about at the beginning of the game? So, I think I got it down now. Got a great plan going in this week. And it's only Tuesday, or we recording on Tuesday. It's only Tuesday, right? So, I'm putting it together. So, I think the biggest thing that I got to work on this week is that start. You know what I'm saying? You got to have great points of emphasis, you know what I'm saying, to talk about as guys make plays at the beginning of them games. So, ready for that this time.
And one of those teams, as you mentioned, Akeem, the Eagles in action on Sunday, you'll be calling the game. They're coming off a win against the New Orleans Saints, who are still in your power ranking. So, let's get right to them. At number one, the Kansas City Chiefs staying there. Number two, the Buffalo Bills jumping all the way up from 4-2. Green Bay jumping up from 5-3. Pittsburgh, with that loss to Buffalo, drops down to 4. Deontay Johnson, what in the world was going on? And number five, New Orleans Saints, as we mentioned before, dropping down from number three with their loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. Before we talk about the New Orleans Saints in our next segment, I do want to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts. You're obviously doing the game. What did you see from the Eagles in that matchup in Jalen Hurts' first start as an NFL quarterback?
Offensively, I seen a whole nother team, man. I seen an entirely different team. A team who looked like one of the top rushing teams in the league. Now, it's crazy. You just add in the quarterback who zone read, the quarterback got to be a threat too, or it ain't no zone read, right? You got to be able to hold that DN out there, hold that last man on the line. So you just add Jalen in. Now Miles Sanders runs for 100, and Jalen runs for 100 against a team who never gave up 100. They ain't gave up 100 in 3-4 seasons, right? So, man, immediately, that's the first thing I seen. Oh, the running game is cracking. They had 12 different starting, 13 different starting O-line combinations this year. And they come out and run for 200. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's a test to Jalen Hurts, man. So, I saw a totally different offense, man. A run game-driven offense. And I saw a super poised, super calm quarterback, man. He's a leader. He controlled the game, got great command of the game. Never too high. He scored touchdowns. He don't get too high. He don't get too low. You know what I'm saying? He celebrate. He right back even kill, man. So I'm excited to see him in person, man. I think he's going to be even more settled down in the second game. I'm excited for Jalen Hurts. He looked good. He looked good to me.
If you were on the Cardinals, and I'm maybe you've had this experience in your career, you're going to go against this new quarterback, a new offensive system, and you only have one game of tape to reference. You've played a multitude of quarterbacks, so you have game after game after game that you could reference, but you only get one tape for real for this guy. How do you approach that if you're on the Arizona Cardinals?
You better watch that tape. You better watch that one tape 50 times and know it like the back of your hand, man. I'm talking about the down, study the down and distance, study what they like to do, third and short, study what kind of routes they run in third and long, because that first game, this second game is probably going to be super similar to that first game. It went so well. He liked the plan. They liked the plan. They might add on a few small things, but that plan is going to be super similar, man. So the Cardinals better study that one game, because this next game is going to be played from the Eagles' offense. It's going to be played the exact same.
Their chances of getting it to the postseason.
Philadelphia Eagles in the postseason is definitely going to be tough. Definitely going to be tough, man. They gotta depend on guys to lose. That's always bad when you need somebody to lose for you to get in, man. But if Washington slip up, man, if Washington slip up, lose a game, I think Jalen Hurts, I think he got his hands full, man. You got a tough Cardinals team on the road. You got Washington last game of the season. I'm going to say I don't like the chance. It's too much they got to go on in order for them guys to make it, man. So I'm going to say no. I love how he played, man, and I'm excited to see him next year as a starter. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully he's a starter next year and he get a chance to make the playoffs himself. I'm excited to see that, man. But this year, I don't think they're going.
And it's going to be tough for them, too, just because, they, as you mentioned, they have teams above them, like the New York Giants, who are playing strong on defense for the most part. Washington football team has been really good defensively with Sweat and Chase Young. They've been balling. But at the same time, the reason for optimism for both of those, for the Eagles, we don't know what's happening with Daniel Jones. Wasn't too good in his comeback performance last week. And at the same time, unfortunately, we're not too sure what's going to happen with Alex Smith because he had to leave the game this past Sunday. So I guess obviously always health always matters. And obviously a win this Sunday for the Eagles will at least give them a better chance of making something happen.
That'll be a good start for them.
We're talking about the Arizona Cardinals coming out of that NFC West. There are three playoff teams coming out of there. Looks like the LA Rams are going to make it. Looks like the Seattle Seahawks are going to make it. Arizona Cardinals kind of have a chance to make it. They're sitting in a good position with the Vikings and Bears both at 6-7 playing each other this weekend. They're above them right now in the standings. Akib, how do you like their chances of getting into the postseason and giving Kyler Murray a chance to play in the postseason tournament?
Well, first of all, I like that they control their own destiny. You know what I'm saying? You win, you win. They don't have to worry about nobody losing. You know what I'm saying? You hate when you have to worry about somebody losing. You can't control that. But if they handle business against Philly this weekend, then you got two divisional opponents, the Niners and the Rams, man. They'll have to win one of them. I think they could lose almost one more game and still be in. But at least they control their own, man. You go 2-1, you in. If you go 3-0, you for sure in. 2-1, you got a chance to be in. Anything, any more losses than one. If you lose two games, you're probably not going, man, because you got the Vikings, you got the Bears. You got a couple guys who on their heels who probably won't lose two games. They play each other one time, so got to win games, Kyler. Kyler got to win games. You control your own. You win, you win. I think they'll do it, man. I think they'll win. They'll go 2-1, and that'll be good enough to get them that keep them that seventh seed.
Jalen Hurts has a similar skill set in some ways, at least, to Lamar Jackson. Baltimore Ravens, Cleveland Browns are not in your top five, but I did want to ask you a quick question. Did you put down any money last night on that Monday Night Football game?
I did not, but I know some people who did, and it was some happy campers last night because a lot of people picked them Ravens, and it was looking like they going to push. I mean, it wasn't too mad because it was looking like they was going to push. I think the line was 3. The spread was 3.
Yeah, it was 3.
Man, my phone, when the safety happened, put it like this. My phone had like 40 new messages on it from group chats and from 3 different group chats. Hey, it was going though, so it definitely was a bad beat. Bad beat. Oh, in the flesh.
Hell yeah. I am glad I did not participate in that one. That would have been stressful. Before we get to the playoff teams or teams that are confirmed to be in the playoffs as of yet, I did want to mention the Buffalo Bills, who jumped up from number 4 to number 2, got the win against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. And then I think, Paul, remind me who they just beat. There you go. San Francisco and Pittsburgh coming off of those two wins. And they're doing this without John Brown, who's probably maybe their second best wide receiver. What are you seeing from Josh Allen that has been encouraging?
I'm going to say this about the Bills, right? I got the Bills number 2 on my power rankings, right? I just did the herd with Colin Cowherd. Colin got him number 1. He said they're better than the Chiefs. And I'm going to argue him down because I love Mahomes and the Chiefs. But, man, if you look at the Bills' schedule this year, they probably the most battle-tested team in the football right now, man. I was going through it yesterday. I think they got like 6 big wins against, like, you know,
the Seattle's
and the Rams and like real good teams. Like, you know what I'm saying? They got 5 or 6 like big wins. I'm like, all right, who should I put at number 2? The Packers or the Bills? So I started looking at the big wins. Packers had like 2 big wins. The Bills had like 5 big wins, and if I counted somebody like the Vikings or something, they might have been 6 or 7 big wins. You know what I'm saying? So they battle tested, man. They seen the NFL's best shot this year, and they took that shot. They took that shot. They won some of them. They lost some of them. They won more than they lost. But I see a team who ready. I see a team who gonna make some noise in these playoffs, man. I love what they got going. Tough quarterback, tough run game, good defense, man. Quarterback who could throw in the cold. So I think they're gonna shock somebody early in these playoffs.
Usually when you have a team that gets a big time wide receiver, it can go south, but it's looked like Stephon Diggs to Buffalo has really paid off. And while we mention that game and before we get to our next segment where we really dissect the teams that are currently confirmed for the playoffs, tell me about Deontay Johnson. He got benched in that first half against the Buffalo Bills after I think it was 2 to 3, it was at least 2 drops. If you're a DB and you see somebody like Deontay Johnson going through this period where he's dropping the ball, coach benches him, what's going through your mind as a DB? And I know there was a lot of fantasy football players who were relying on Deontay Johnson who couldn't come through.
I bet the fantasy football players mad, but as a DB, if I'm in the game and they bench Deontay Johnson and bring in Washington, I'm kind of mad too. Because, shit, I've been watching Deontay Johnson all week. I know his moves. I know what routes he's going to run. Then he bring in another guy he's no slouch at all. You know what I'm saying? He was a monster at Oklahoma State. So, I mean, you bring that guy in who got great athletic ability, and I just haven't been watching him like that. I'd rather play the guy who I've been watching all week, man. So, as a DB, I hate when that happens. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to play the guy who I prepared for.
For sure. So the Steelers are still confirmed to be in the playoffs after getting off to such a great start to begin this NFL season. The Kansas City Chiefs are already confirmed. The Green Bay Packers are confirmed. And the New Orleans Saints are confirmed. When we come back, we're going to break down their playoff probabilities, things that you don't want, that teams that they might not want to see in the playoffs, things they need to improve on as they try to bid for the Super Bowl. We'll be right back. This is Call to the Booth.
Football is back, so you know what that means, man. We like to put on our favorite jersey, get some beer, get some chips, and lock in on Sundays. So don't forget to lock in with Manscaped, though, man, below the belt. We got to lock in and make sure we nice and neat below the belt so our wives and our girlfriends don't have nothing to say at night after the games, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you spend all day on the couch watching the game, and then you try to get romantic, but you didn't do the part that you should have done before that. You didn't treat your halftime correctly when you should have been taking care of yourself. You alluded to it. It's the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0, and they got everything you need. First of all, you know, Akeem, when we were younger, we didn't have the technology that they have now where you could actually have the Lawnmower 3.0. It's a skin-safe technology. It's waterproof. It's cordless. You can bring it in the shower, get all the spots that you really need to get. They also have the Crop Preserver, which is a ball deodorant, so you can stop from the chafing, especially if you're not wearing appropriate boxers. Fellas, wear good boxers. And then also you have the Crop Reviver as well. So you have the Perfect Package 3.0, all these things that you need to make sure that you're on top of your game when the games are over.
Definitely, man. Manscaped.com got us covered, guys. I can remember, you know, just going into the shower and grabbing whatever razor, doing what I got to do, hopping out the shower, dumping baby powder down there. But, I mean, we don't have to go through that kind of stuff no more, guys. We got Manscaped.com. Use the promo code NoFlyZone. You get 20% off and you get free shipping. That's on anything you need. You get you a trimmer. You get you a little deodorant, man. I say you good to go with them two things right there, man. So NoFlyZone is the promo code. 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped.com, man. They got us covered.
Your balls will thank you.
Yes, sir.
Right now, there are four teams confirmed to make it to the NFL playoffs this season. The Kansas City Chiefs, Green Bay Packers, New Orleans Saints, and we just saw a video of Juju Smith-Schuster of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So while they're confirmed, we're not necessarily sure they will be successful. So right now, we're going to take some time. We're going to try and be quick with it, but we're going to identify four things for each team: their best position group, a liability that they have to take care of in a playoff game, an X factor that can help them win a playoff game or a Super Bowl, and a team that they really should avoid if they have intentions of being the last team standing. So with that being said, let's start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their best position group, and I think you already kind of saw who that was by how we pointed it out already to start the segment.
We don't go their wide outs. They had a tough game, man, a lot of drops. You know what I'm saying? And you see, when they had drops like that, the offense looked different, and they lose games, man. They stand on them receivers so much, man. I think if one guy playing bad, they got Washington they could bring in. They so deep, man, with all that talent. Best position group, definitely the wide outs.
And Eric Ebron has definitely helped them at the tight end position as well.
Oh, yeah. He part of the receiver group. That's including him.
And then their liability going into a potential big-time playoff game.
Their liability, let's say that run game, man. We're going to say that run game. It's definitely a liability. Sometimes they don't even try to run the ball in the game, man. So in December, January football, they got the defense, but they got to have that run game, man. Ben is a fool in the cold weather, but defense and run game win championships, man, so they need it.
When you did your interview with Colin Cowherd, I think you referenced the fact they're kind of doing these 2 to 3 yard passes and kind of using it as a pseudo run game. How do you feel as a defender when you see a team that seems reluctant to run the ball and would have an offense like that where 2 to 3 yard passes are something that's accepted? How would you feel as a defender?
I mean, it's just like a run. I feel like every time they throw a little screen, we got to get him down. I feel like it's a run where the corners got to tackle. The secondary is not as much on the D-line. It's more on your smaller guys to tackle the smaller guys. You know what I'm saying? Smaller guys block the smaller guys. It's an outside run play to me. So I always looked at screens and stuff like runs. So, man, as a defender, I just know I got to – I'm playing Pittsburgh. I know I got to have my big boy pads on. I'm going to have to tackle a lot this
week.
Okay,
biggest X factor for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
X factor for the Steelers? They secondary, definitely. Micah Fitzpatrick and Hayden, man, Nelson, those guys. They don't get a lot of love. They're getting a lot of love this year. They don't get a lot of love individually. You know what I'm saying? But those guys are smart players, man. They got veteran guys in that group, man. Those guys remind me of us. They don't leave the room without everything black and white. So definitely the X factor for them guys.
You could
make a bunch of plays for them too.
You can see that their importance is going to be heightened now going into the playoffs, especially with the injury that they've already had to Devin Bush. Obviously, Bud Dupree's injury as well being out for the season. I think we saw in that Buffalo game a lot more attention than is put on T.J. Watt. They're able to maybe double team him more. So maybe that puts the secondary in positions where they have to make a lot more plays. And finally, with that all being said, a team that they should avoid in the playoffs.
Team they want to avoid is the Ravens, man. The Ravens going to come in this thing with some vengeance. They going to come in. Whoever see the Ravens early in the playoffs, man, they going to run into a rude awakening. But Lamar going to be ready. That defense going to be ready. They're getting guys back. You want to stay away from them Ravens.
If you had to pick a team that's going to get the one seed in the AFC, Buffalo Bills, Pittsburgh Steelers, or the Kansas City Chiefs, who gets it?
The Chiefs.
Okay, fair enough. There's only one team getting a bye this year. So with that being said, you mentioned the Chiefs, so let's talk about them. I think I already know what the best position group is when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes, man, the quarterback, best in the league, best in the world.
Run, and their liability.
Liability, I would say they run defense. Run defense was struggling, man, in January, December, January football. You're going to have to stop the run. It's going to be cold some places. You're going to have to stop the run, man. Definitely.
And their X factor.
X factor, he was the X factor this past week. Hartman could bust at any time. As soon as you focus too much on Kelce and Tyreek, Hartman will take you up top.
The immature person in me would have said pause. But then moving forward to the team that they would want to avoid in a playoff game.
They want to avoid them Titans because they had trouble stopping the run. The Titans is one of the best running teams in the league. And then the Titans, man, they put that pressure on them already this year, man. They're a good football team who predicated on that run game. So you want to stay away from them if you can't stop the run.
Moving over to the NFC, it looks more likely that the number one seed won't be coming out of the NFC West just because of how tough that division is with the Rams, with the 49ers, with the Cardinals. It's just going to be a very tough division for a team to come out of as the number one seed overall. With that, and obviously the Seahawks. But with that being said, it really looks like it's going to come down to Green Bay Packers, New Orleans Saints for that number one seed because the damn sure ain't coming out the NFC East. More likely right. to win the number one seed in the NFC. Green Bay Packers, New Orleans Saints.
I know it's a lot of division games. I don't know their schedules like exactly, but I know everybody got a lot of division games at the end. And I like the Packers in their division, man. So I'm going to go Packers. I'm going to ride with Green Bay, man, just because Drew not in there. Taysom struggled a little bit early in the game. And they don't have their starter. They're not fully healthy, so I'm going to go Packers.
Okay. With that being said, so let's start with the Packers. Your position of power for the Green Bay Packers is?
Is I'm going to go O-line, man. O-line. Aaron Rodgers is looking great this year. I think it's part the system. Of course, it's Aaron Rodgers, but it's part the system, and it's part how that O-line is playing, man. He's not getting touched. So, definitely O-line.
We saw that.
Best position group.
Yeah, we saw that was their downfall last year to the 49ers.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers was under pressure. So, if he could avoid, if you could let Aaron Rodgers work, that's exactly what he's going to do.
Yes,
their
sir.
Liability.
I think that liability is that run defense as well. They run defense been struggling. And like I said, in December, January, February football, you got to stop that run because teams is going to try to tote the rock. So you better get that together quick.
It would seem that they're very similar to the Kansas City Chiefs where if they get in a game where they can get the lead and they force the other team to pass the ball, it really plays
right.
Into their strength. Their X factor.
X factor is the Smith boys on the end. On defense, them two ends they got, man. Once those guys get going, they changed entire games, man. So them guys got to really pick it up, get going in these playoffs, and they changed that defense by themselves, run game and pass game, man. So them Smith brothers definitely the X factor.
Team to avoid.
Team to avoid is the Bucks. I just got this feeling. And about a month from now, that the Bucks is going to be finally clicking as a team. Like I said, I went on the herd, and Colin was like, they're really not a team right now. They're really not a team right now. So, I mean, they ain't had no training camp. You know, they still adding pieces during the season. But, I mean, eventually, them good coaches, them great leaders, they make guys mesh and make them be a team. It's a bunch of great leaders over there. So, I just see them guys meshing well by the end of the year, man. So, stay away from the Bucks.
So, somebody who's been humming recently is Ronald Jones over the past couple weeks. I think he might be top five in overall for fantasy football running backs, but I believe he's on the injury report now, so we have to see what his status will be for their upcoming game on Sunday. And finally, let's get to those New Orleans Saints that you just referenced, their position of power.
Position of power, I'm going to go to them RBs, man, that run game with Taysom Hill in it, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. It's definitely thunder and lightning, man. A big bruiser guy who got some speed and can catch the ball as well. And then you got Kamara, man. He speaks for himself. So when they run into football good, that's when it opens up everything else for that team. And the Saints really look like the Saints when Kamara getting touches and Murray getting touches and they really, really toting. So run game.
And yeah, it was a very surprising to see them not be able to see them run the ball the way that they have, even though Drew Brees is not out there. That shows you how good they are at that position. With that being said, their liability is...
I'm gonna go that no home crowd. We don't got them fans in the dome, man. That's a major advantage. When if they be the number one seed, they had home field throughout. But that home field throughout is different if that crowd ain't there, man. So it's tough, man. They still the Saints, but they're a different Saints team when that crowd is turned up. You can't hear nothing. When I say nothing in the playoffs, you won't be able to hear absolutely nothing. I remember, Big Wit, Jared Goff is two bodies away from him checking. Big Wit could not hear. He had to walk over to him and, like, he played left tackle. So, you can't hear nothing in that building, man. I think they definitely going to miss that in the playoffs.
And Paul also reminds me, if you go back to earlier this season, Aaron Rodgers was in New Orleans, and he was trying the hard count. And that's something that you would never really see in New Orleans.
Exactly. Exactly, man.
As a team that goes now into New Orleans in a potential playoff game, are there things now that you feel like more confident in doing because of there being no crowd and making changes defensively at the last minute because you could hear your DB or your linebacker that's close to you and all that type of stuff?
Well, on defense, it's easy when you're on the road on defense because it's you can hear a pin drop. You know what I'm saying? They super quiet for Breeze, so Breeze can make his checks and stuff. So it's quiet for us. But it's on offense that those guys will be able to communicate and they'll be able to function in New Orleans in a way that they wouldn't have been able to function in the past.
X factor for the New Orleans Saints.
X factor. I'm going to go Taysom Hill. By the playoff time, Drew should be back. And Taysom Hill's confidence is going to be through the roof, man. He done started games, played good, only lost one game. Probably only lost one game by the time Drew come back. His confidence is going to be through the roof, man. He's going to have a better feel for the offense, man. And just a reward on how good he did, I'm sure Sean Payton going to have some great red zone players in there to let him score some touchdowns. So X factor definitely be Taysom Hill in the playoffs.
And I think you're going to catch some people off guard with this one, but I think it might make sense. The team that they want to avoid?
Team that they want to avoid in the playoffs is the Bucks. I'm telling you, the Bucks going to be gelling. They already done beat the brakes off the Bucks twice. The hardest thing to do in the NFL is beat a team three times, man. So, the history say they better not play the Bucks. And just this feeling I got about the Bucks, Bruce Arians and Tom, man, they finna turn up for these playoffs, man. So, stay away from the Bucks.
And before we go to break and we break down the Thursday night football game, why is it so hard for a team to win that third game?
I don't know. It's like a pride thing or something. Like, guys just play harder. Like, man, we're not finna let these dudes whoop us three times. And then maybe the team who won the two times, they come in like, oh, yeah, we beat this team two times. They're not that good. And just that momentum. As soon as you think a guy not that good, you remember they get paid just like us. The same guy who signed our checks, signed they checks, man. So, hey.
Facts.
You can't go in the game like that.
Facts. All right, we'll be right back with more Call to the Booth Thursday night football preview right on the way.
This is Jared Goff, and you're listening to Call to the Booth.
Almost time to go home. Last segment here of Call to the Booth, our Wednesday episode. Another episode comes out Thursday audio, Friday video. You know how we do. Thursday night football preview. This game, pretty much an elimination game for the Las Vegas Raiders as they welcome in Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers. Quick recap of what happened with them last weekend. Los Angeles Chargers got a win against the Atlanta Falcons. No Julio Jones. As the Chargers were able to come off with that late win, even though there were some skeptical moments throughout the entirety of the game. Anthony Lynn taking charge of the special teams unit. They gave up at least 3 points at the end of the first half. Mike Williams was hurt for the Los Angeles Chargers after their first series. Hurt some people, if you had him in your fantasy lineup, in the fantasy playoffs. Not a good situation to be in. But Justin Herbert, over these past 2 weeks now, Akib, has seen somewhat of a downturn. Obviously, 1 week was the Patriots. Next week, the Falcons secondary is a matchup that you usually like to have if you're a quarterback.
Right.
But Mike Williams wasn't there. But at the same time, Mike Williams is not necessarily their featured receiver. We all know who that is. It's Keenan Allen. How are you evaluating the close now for Justin Herbert's season? They're not playing for a playoff spot. But as an organization, as a fan base, I'm sure you want to see him end the year on a positive note.
Definitely. But at the same time, he played so well early. You wait to see when is he going to have this little couple weeks, this, you know what I'm saying, or what he having right now. You want to see him have this, so you want to see him, how's he going to bounce back from this? Two down weeks, you want to see, you want to know that as a GM, as a head coach. We not playing for no playoffs or nothing like that, so we just want to know about our guys. We want to see who we got, so it's not the worst thing in the world that he played like that these 2 weeks. Just so you can see how he respond to adversity, man. I'm sure the media is going to be on him. He's in L.A. So, man, you want to see how he responds to adversity. So, I don't think it's a terrible thing for him.
I'm sure you've had these moments in your career where you're about to play a guy's on fire, and all of a sudden he goes up against a great defense. Might have been maybe one of your no-fly zone teams in Denver. Could have been maybe one of your teams in New England. But there's a certain team that kind of gives the blueprint on how to stop an offensive attack.
Right.
Can you recall any of those moments and how it influenced maybe how you check the guy or how you check the team going forward?
Well, I could say it's not even us on defense, but in the Super Bowl, shit, Bill came out and put six guys down on the D-line, made six guys across, you know what I'm saying? And ran, however he ran it, 6-2 or whatever, however he did it, right? They stopped our run game, ran for like 40-something yards or something. First game of the season next year, what you think the Raiders was trying to do? It was six guys across. And, I mean, throughout that year, some teams did it, some teams didn't do it. But the teams who did it, they kind of stopped our run throughout the whole year, man. So Bill kind of gave a blueprint. After that season, I'm sure Sean McVay was at home trying to figure out a way to run on this six. Guys put six down linemen, how can we still run on it? So I know a lot of his offseason was predicated to being able to run on that defense because Bill put it out there that this will slow them down, slow this outside zone scheme. It'll slow it down, man. So I seen it before, right? Right, live Super Bowl, right in my face.
Speaking of defensive changes, for a team like the Las Vegas Raiders, very much in the playoff hunt, had some disappointing weeks over the past couple. They barely beat the Jets, got lost to the Indianapolis Colts at home. Jonathan Taylor ran all over them. And then now Paul Gunther has been fired as a defensive coordinator. I know he came over from the Cincinnati Bengals. How much does that change things for a defense in this position, in this team in general? You're fighting for a playoff spot. You're almost there, and all of a sudden your D coordinator is out with three games left in the season. How much can that change things for a positive or in a negative way?
Well, I mean, in negative way, if the guys really rolled for him, if they really felt like it wasn't coach's fault, we the ones out here playing, then maybe the vibe would be off a little bit. But you don't see that too much, man. In a positive way, maybe guys wasn't vibing with him. They really didn't like what he was calling, didn't like his flow. And then you take him out, and then you put somebody who's, you know, a DB coach or somebody who was already there, you put him in his place, and it's the same defense. They just make smaller tweaks. Usually they're player-friendly tweaks, what you guys been asking for, you know what I'm saying? And then usually guys kind of get comfortable, and they play pickup because they really playing what they want to play, you know what I'm saying? The kind of defense that they want to play, man. So I think it would be a positive, man. It's probably something going on where them guys really wasn't in cahoots, man, with their D coordinator. They ain't really like the style. So now you had the same defense, man, with a little tweak to the style. I think they'll like it.
So with that being said, for the entirety of the year, we've been kind of, I would give you or Paul would give us the betting line and the over-under for the Thursday night football game. So we're going to change the game plan a little bit, similar to what the Raiders might be doing with the new defensive coordinator. Can you take a stab at what the line is? Take a stab at what the over-under is, and then pick the winner, and then we'll go home.
Vegas definitely the favorite. But this NFL is not going to be by much. Maybe 3 points.
Okay, so you got Chargers, Vegas minus three.
Yeah, I got Vegas minus three.
Okay, over. And what is your over-under?
Over-under with these two teams, let's say 49.
Okay, so
Paul, read the results, please.
So the Chargers are 3.5-point underdogs, which, as we found out last night, is a really big half point.
Yeah.
But the over-under is 53.
53? Oh, I'm off on both of them. I'm low.
The spread's pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, the spread close. Yeah. I'm close on the spread. That over-under, I'm off.
With that being said, what are you taking?
I'm gonna take the Raiders. The Raiders at home. They'll win by 10. Gruden gonna get guys together. He know he got another role to fill, man. Gunther gone. He gotta have his hand in that now. So he'll be vocal around the building this week, man. I like the Raiders at home. They'll win by 10.
Sounds good to me. One more time, subscribe, rate, review. This is Call to the Booth. You'll see us back on Thursday. And then, you hear us on Thursday. You'll see us on Friday. And then you already know, Akeem, what they got to do on Sunday.
Hey, on Sunday, man, I know it's a big game, Paul. What's the big game later in the afternoon?
Chiefs Saints.
Now, Chiefs Saints somehow turn into a blowout and you get bored. Hey, turn it over, man. Turn it over to Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, and leave. We're going to be live on Fox. Check us out, man.